Amen. Are you ready for the word of God today? I'm not going to keep you long at all. We have been talking about the divine reality of the resurrection. And last Sunday, I started to minister on what I call the three irrefutable truths about the resurrection of Christ. And we took the very first one last Sunday. The first irrefutable truth about the resurrection of Christ, which we said has to become a revelation to us. We can't just think about it. We can't just hear about it once every year during Easter. We can't just sing about it. It has to be a deep, heart-born revelation inside of each of us. And that first irrefutable truth is Jesus did suffer and die in our place. He was the perfect substitute for us. In Isaiah 53, the Bible gives us a snapshot, and I don't have time because the service is gone on and I need to close early, so I'm not going to do a lot of revision. But we see a snapshot of what Jesus did for us on the cross. In Isaiah 53 verse 4, the Bible says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That word chastisement means the restraint, the chastening, the discipline. What kept him on the cross? The restraint. It's like when you say they put a restraining order on somebody. The Lord allowed them to put a restraining order on Jesus so that you will never be restrained. Everything the Lord did was so that you and I will never have to deal with that. You and I will never have to deal with that. He said in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He stayed dumb. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before our shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus did not open his mouth so that your mouth will never be shut. So that you will never lose your own voice. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Everything that the Lord endured at Calvary was so that you and I would never have to bear the same things. Amen. The sickness, the pain, the turmoil, the torture, the affliction, all of that was so that you and I would never have to deal with that same thing. So always, you know, I do that. I remind myself. When there's something creating a restraint in my life, whether it's in my physical life or whether it's in my material, finances or whatever, I say, Jesus became restrained so that I will never be restrained. That's why the Bible says you will know the truth. The truth will set and say, if you know the Son, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus went through all of those things so that you and I would never have to deal with the same. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now let's give a few minutes to talking about the second irrefutable truth about the resurrection of Christ. And here it is. Jesus never saw corruption in the grave. Amen. Oh my. Remember, we went from the cross. Now we're going to the grave. Jesus never saw corruption in the grave. He was never helpless and he was never hopeless in the bottomless pit. Oh, Jesus. He rose up by the power of God to the glory of God. Listen to this again. Jesus never saw corruption in the grave. He was never helpless and he was never hopeless in the bottomless pit. He rose up by the power of God to the glory of God. Jesus never saw corruption. Jesus never saw corruption. They put his body in the grave, but he never saw corruption. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. He never saw corruption in the grave. He was never helpless, and he was never hopeless in the bottomless pit. No. So, if you feel like you are in a pit today, I'm telling you, my friends, there's hope in Jesus. Whatever pit of life you feel like, wherever you're hearing me from today, whatever pit of life you feel like you have been cast into, there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I expect we have a few people joining us online. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Acts chapter 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You know this scripture very well, because this is one of our theme scriptures for 2022. Acts chapter 2 verse 22. You remember this scripture? This is where we got our divine approval from. Now the Bible says in this scripture, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. And how did God show his approval of Jesus? It's a rhetorical question. How did God show his approval? The Bible says he was approved among you, but how did God show his approval of Jesus? You can see right there, it tells us. He says by miracles, by wonders, and signs which God did in the midst of you. How does God show? When God approves of you, how does God show his approval of you? I said, when God approves of you, how does God show? God cannot approve of you and you live a life without miracles. It's impossible. It is impossible. You cannot have divine approval and have no miracle in your life. It is impossible. Because one of the ways God shows his approval is through miracles. He said, a man approved of you by miracles, by wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. In the midst of you. That is not just the ones you tell us about that we can't see. Not just the ones you keep talking about, but we can't touch it. Yeah, there is a time to talk about it in faith. But I'm telling you, the Bible says at some point, it says, and how does it say it? It said, the word of God, it became flesh amongst us. And then what happened? We beheld his glory. That's John chapter 2. I think it may be verse 14. I'm not sure. Is John chapter 1 verse 14 somewhere? Is it verse 14? He said, pull that up for me, please, if you can. Look at that scripture. He said, John 1:14, thank you. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then what happened? We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full, somebody say full, full of grace and truth. Listen to that scripture. The Holy Ghost threw that out to us today. Listen to that scripture. The Word was made flesh. The way this works, help me, Holy Ghost. I need computer help. Thank you, Lord. The way this works, this word, you start out talking it. You start out reading it. You start out believing it. You start out singing about it. Telling everybody about it. But at some point, this word must become flesh. See, this is one of the biggest problems. I'll tell you a few religious things this morning, if I can, before I close. This is one of the biggest problems with religion. Because religion teaches us, we just need to recite the Bible, just read it morning and evening. But the religion never tells us this word has to become flesh. And until this word becomes flesh, you cannot see his glory. Until this word, see, this word must jump out of the pages of a Bible and become flesh. It must be something that is tangible, something that you devour, something that you meditate on, something that becomes a part of you, something that you live out. You live it out. It becomes flesh. But when that word becomes flesh, it will not be long before what happens? You will see the glory of that word. You will see the glory. There is no word that becomes flesh in your life that will not produce glory. It is impossible. Listen, if there is a life that is devoid of glory, you haven't. The word of God has not become flesh. God will show his approval by miracles.
Yes.
He will. He said in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18, he said, I and the children that the Lord God has given me, we are for what? Come on, we are just for talking. We're just for be preaching loud. Just for be carrying big Bibles. Hallelujah. Just to be going to a church where they shout and holler. What are we for? For signs and wonders. When you find your place in the covenant of the risen Christ, my friend, signs and wonders will show up in your life. It is impossible for signs and wonders to not show. You will find signs and wonders showing up in your life. I'm tired of believers talking about what they believe and we cannot see the evidence. I have to be able to see the difference between you and somebody who doesn't believe that Bible. You say you serve the Prince of Peace, but you don't have peace. Come on. Come on, I can't believe that. Come on, you can't say you serve the Prince of Peace and you have no peace. How does that happen? You said you serve the Almighty God of the universe, the one who created everything, the one who has access, who has resources, and you have nothing. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years, not for 4 years, not for five, not for six, not for seven. No. That's not the way he works. If that is your case, it means the word that produces peace has not become flesh in your life. Because when the word that produces peace becomes flesh in your life, you will see the glory. You will see peace. You will see peace. It's not that you'll be calling everybody, say, hey, I have peace. Do you know I have peace? Oh, I have peace. Singing emoji peace. No. Everybody who sees you will just know you have peace. When they see you, they know you have peace. You don't have to explain it. You can tell people in 1,000 words that you have peace. But every time you show up, if you have no peace, they can tell.
Yes.
Because there's something going on with this man. This man doesn't have peace. He prays a lot, but no peace. Cry. He carries a very big Bible, but he doesn't have peace. He's always singing, peace, 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 but he has no peace. Yeah, but there's no peace. Everybody will know there's something wrong. When this word becomes flesh, it has to show glory. Come on, it has to show glory. Because the way the world will tell that you serve a living God is the glory of God that this word produces in your life. Hallelujah. It's just a matter of time. Just be patient. I've told you for years, you have nothing to prove. Just keep living this word. You don't have to advertise something. You don't have to. No, just keep living that word. You will not. I remember several years ago in one Bible study, I was teaching a series. Then we used to do physical Bible study. I was teaching a series from 1 Timothy, and that scripture that says, just do what the word says, da da da. And after a while, your progress or your profiting will appear to all men. And I remember I took some time to talk about what that means. That is what this is. Your profiting will appear. It will. You cannot hide it. It will. The whole world will see it. That there's a God in you. They will know it. They can't argue it. You don't have to hire an attorney to prove it. You don't have to buy an ad on TV. No. The whole world will see. You just, your job, just keep living it. Just keep walking with it. Just keep, every day you get up, keep making the word flesh. Keep making the word flesh. Keep making the, one day it won't be long. The glory will show up. The glory will show up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. Oh my, I'm so excited about this series of messages, I'm telling you. I'm so excited about this. It's at the core. It's at the root, the very root of everything we believe in the faith. This message I'm preaching to you. Because the Bible says, if the resurrection didn't happen, we are doomed. Forget it. If Jesus did not rise up from the grave, if Jesus did not come back to life, then you and I, forget it. The resurrection is our only hope, my friends. What is the guarantee of abundant life? The only guarantee there is of abundant life is Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says death could not hold him captive. Do you know this? I said death could not hold him captive. He rose out of the grave by the glory of God, by the power of God. And because of that, you and I have hope. No matter what you see around you, if it looks like dead bones around you, you just remember Jesus rose from the dead. Me too, I will rise. Somebody say that. Say, I shall arise. Oh, Jesus. Help me say that. Say loud. Say, I shall arise. Say, I shall arise. Say, Jesus did not see corruption. I will not see corruption. I shall arise. I'm coming out of this bottomless pit. I'm coming out of this graveyard. I'm coming out of this gutter. I'm coming out of this ghetto. I'm coming out of this wasteful pit. I shall arise. Shout it out, Lord. I shall arise. You cannot be kept down. The Bible says in Job chapter 22, verse 29 in the Amplified, he said that when people are cast down, I will say, there's a lifting up for me. There's a lifting up. You know why there will be a lifting up for you? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. No devil can keep you down. No family heritage can keep you down. No generational curse can keep you down. Hallelujah. I'm preaching. I'm prophesying to somebody today. You are coming out of that generational yoke in the name of the Lord Jesus. No generational yoke can stifle your destiny. You are not bound. You are not broken by that generational curse. You are redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus rose from the dead. He became a curse for you by hanging on the tree so that the blessing of Abraham can come upon you Gentiles, and so that you may receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit through faith. Say, I'm redeemed from every curse. Say, I'm redeemed from every curse. I'm redeemed from every curse. When you begin to see some things happening, and you heard your family's story, and they tell you, your grandfather died of this sickness. Your grandmother died of this sickness. Your so-so uncle, your so-so auntie, this is in your family. Yes, we understand that biologically. We understand genetics. But part of what Jesus did, the Bible says he did not see corruption. All of that hereditary evil is part of what is called corruption. That's what's defined as corruption. I remember when our daughter was very young, and there was a situation we had to change schools a number of times. We had to deal with a number of different things. You know, children, you move from one place to the instability and all of that. And she got into this deep hole. And she was very young. I never forget. One morning, she called her mom and myself. And she said, I don't want to go to school. And we said, why? She said, I'm depressed. She was very young. We said, where did you hear that word from? Where did you hear that word from? And you looked at her. She didn't want to get out of that room, that dark room. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to see anyone. I'm depressed. I don't want to go to school. Immediately, I realized that generational curse from my mother's side of the family came to plague my daughter. I knew it immediately. Because my mother battled depression all her life until she died. I led her to the Lord, but she never fully got free from depression. As a little child, I saw my mother weeping, wake up in the middle of the night, weeping. Weeping. Howling. Depressed. Sad. Broken. As a little child, I saw that. I wake up in the middle, I see her. And I didn't know the Lord. But eventually, I understood that's what that was. I didn't know what it was. She went to heaven. She's in heaven. Because I led her to the Lord. I know that. I led her to the Lord. She's in heaven. Praise God she made it to heaven. I'll see her. I'll see her again. But I'm telling you, she was broken by depression. Her life was wrecked by depression. And our daughter said, the very first thing that came up within me, that foul spirit. Immediately I knew this is battle time. See, this is not, you don't learn this in university. So right then, we got into our spiritual world. And of course, we took the word. We did what we needed to do with her, prayed and did a few. But then we got on this process. That yoke of depression was completely destroyed over her life. Completely. Completely. It doesn't mean it won't try to come back. Because if you read the word of God, the Bible says when an evil spirit is driven out, it goes through dry places. This is Matthew chapter 12. It goes through dry places looking for a place to rest his head. And if you can't find a place, it's going to come back. Is why a lot of people, a lot of believers deal with this, they don't realize it. Things that they thought they had victory on, over, many years ago. Suddenly those things creep back into their lives. Because now they come back and they say the place is swept, is clean, but it's not occupied. What is it that occupies a place that stops it from being inhabited by the spirit of the enemy? It's the word. Is a fidelity to the word. You are completely, because the word of God, when it's flesh in your life, cannot cohabit with any demonic spirit. The word will push out every demonic spirit. Have you read John chapter 1? He said, and the word, what does it say? He said, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was with God in the beginning, and without him was nothing, everything was created. Da, da, da. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen to this. And the light shines in darkness. And watch this. The darkness cannot comprehend. The answer to every evil. I gotta close so that we can have Moriah's party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'll preach forever. But I think I'm going to wrap this up, because I think I've said what I need to say this morning. I haven't started talking to you about this second one, this second area. I just read a couple of scriptures. I've not started yet. The answer to every plague that Satan will try to bring into your life. This is why many believers don't understand. Everything that happens, they run to this, they run to that. They haven't done word yet. They haven't done word. They will run here. If it's medical, they will run hospital, emergency. Da, 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 da. If it's finance, I need a new loan. Da, da, da. If it's, they haven't done word yet. They haven't done word. The answer, hear me, saints, the answer to every plague that Satan will try to bring into your life is the word. So take that word. Take that word. What did we do with our daughter? We took the word. She has never used one depression medication in her life. Not one time. Not once. Am I lying? She has never had that diagnosis. Amen. Never. But she told us with her own mouth, I'm depressed. How did we drive out that stronghold? It's the word. It's the word. When that foul spirit comes back again and again, as often as it comes back again and again, how do you drive it out? What is the gatekeeper of your life? What is the gatekeeper of your life? What is it that will give you the upper hand over every corruption of the world? Come on. It is the word of God. It is the word of God. You take that word. Come on. You gotta stop playing these games. Stop this. Stop playing all these games. You say with one mouth, I believe the word, but every time something happens, you say something else. Every time you get under pressure, we don't see you oozing out with the word. You don't speak word. And when you crush a grapefruit, what comes out is grape juice. You cannot crush a grapefruit and orange juice comes out. When you come under intense pressure and your life starts getting crushed, what comes out is what is inside you. So many of you wonder, why is it that this bitter fruit, this bitter juice keeps coming out every time I come under pressure? It's because what is inside you is that bitter juice, and it has a greater power than the word of God. You say it with your mouth, but really that word has not become flesh within you. Oh Jesus, I see you delivered today. Amen. I said, I see you delivered. Amen. I said, I see you delivered. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you win every war. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. Amen. You will not see corruption. Amen. I say you will not see corruption. Whatever was stolen from you is restored sevenfold in Jesus' mighty name. Do you receive that word? Come on, stand to your feet. Let's take hold of it. Let's take hold of it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's take hold of it. The Bible said Jesus never saw corruption. You will never see corruption. I say you will never see corruption. You are more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody bless the name of the Lord for me. Wherever you are today, lift up his name. Come on, take your victory from everything. Take your victory from over every plague, over every assault of the enemy. Take your victory over every corruption that the enemy is trying to plague and assault and afflict your life with. You are more than a conqueror. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, get newly baptized into a covenant relationship with the Word of God. Commit yourself today. Commit yourself today. Commit yourself today. In the name of Jesus, I believe the Word of God. I will live by the Word of God. I will trust in the Word of God. I hold on to the Word of God. And when you do that, you will not see corruption. You will not see corruption. Corruption will be far from your household. Corruption will be far from your family. Corruption will be far from your destiny. You will win every war. You will win every war. You will rise above it all. You will rise above it all. You will rise above it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. The power of God is right here. Wherever you are listening to me at, wherever you are under the sound of my voice today, I want you to tap into this power of Almighty God. There's nothing that power cannot do. There's nothing that power cannot change. The Bible says heaven and earth can pass away, but not a jot of his word will go unfulfilled. The Bible says the man that does the will of God and the word of God will abide forever. So you will not see corruption. As long as you keep holding tight to the word, you will never see corruption. You will never see corruption. The psalmist said, he said, you will not allow your Holy One to see. You will not forget my soul in hell, and you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. And then he said, I have kept the Lord by my side. He is always on my right. I will never be moved. I will never be moved. When you are holding on firmly to the word of God, you will not experience corruption. You will overcome. You will win the battles of life. Hallelujah. You will have a testimony. You will see the glory. Hallelujah. You will see signs and wonders. I say you will see signs and wonders. Shabababarakababa. The Lord is not done here. Come on, I feel the power of God in this room. Come on. I feel the power of God through the airwaves. There's healing going on. Deliverance supernaturally. Some people are being set free right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. The power of God is broken loose. I feel it all over the place in the name of the Lord Jesus. The power of God is broken loose all over the place. It's touching children. It's touching young people. It's touching older people. It's touching grandparents. It's touching young men and young women in the name of Jesus. It's bringing them out of the graves of life. It's setting them free from the captive of corruption in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Signs and wonders is yours. Miracles is yours. Miracles is yours. Miracles. A life of miracles is yours. A life of miracles is yours. A life of signs and wonders is yours. A life of glory is yours. In the name of Jesus, every chain is broken over your life. In the name of Jesus, you are delivered. The Bible says, you will know the truth. If you know the truth will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth will make you free. You are knowing the truth. The truth has made you free. In the name of Jesus, walk in the reality of your freedom. Come on, walk in the manifestation of your freedom. Somebody, come on, somebody. Don't play this religion thing. I'm about to close this church, this service. Come on, take hold of what God has for you. Don't swing around in your mind thinking about things that are not important. Come on, take hold of your liberty in the name of Jesus. Don't let that lying spirit deceive you and go back home with you. You let loose of yourself in the presence of God. Take hold of what belongs to you. What rightfully belongs to you. It's yours in the name of Jesus. It's yours in the name of Jesus.